It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to look out and see each one that's here. If you would, turn with me to the book of Jude. I may refer to it as the book of Jude. I may refer to it as the chapter of Jude. But it's got one chapter, so either way,
I guess I'm right. I just want to preach, with the Lord's help, out of this book and just go through it. Before we begin, I preached this once before, a couple weeks ago at our church on a Wednesday night, and I asked the question, what familiar passage of Scripture, when you think of the book of Jude, comes to your mind? There is a passage of Scripture, and maybe you think of a different one, but verse 3 always comes to my mind. It's a highlighted Scripture, if you will. It's a passage of Scripture that's taken, and no harm is done by it being taken out of the chapter, but it's removed and it's preached from as far as earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. But As I consider that, I ask us the question, how familiar are we with the rest of the book or the rest of the chapter? I believe that verse was true back then, but I also believe that it's true for us today, that we do need to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I was sitting in work this week, and I work for a company that makes overhead doors, and they were talking about how everybody up in the East Coast, where we send a lot of stuff to, they want new things. And I thought, as I sat there, you know, concerning Christians, and how in the flesh sometimes we think we want something new. We're not to want anything new. You know, the old ways, the Bible tells us to stand in the old paths and ask for the old ways. Stand in the way and ask for the old paths. God's ways has always worked. God's Word, more specifically, has always worked and will always work according to His purpose. For someone that doesn't know the Lord, that may be religious, they may look around at the Lord's churches. They may look around in the day and time in which we live, and they may say, we need something new. The Word of God doesn't work anymore. God's Word does work. It does exactly what God's Word hath sent it forth to do. But in the book of Jude, let's just read the chapter. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroy them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities, Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. There's a whole lot there. You say, how are you going to get that done in a half an hour or 45 minutes? There's a lot there, but by God's grace, we look at, and I'm going to try to not get ahead of myself. There'll be a lot of this portion we'll kind of look over and some that we won't so much. But we see that in verse 3, the very familiar passage of Scripture, it says that we may earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered. To the saints. First thing I want to say is these people that this is addressed to is saved people. It is saved people. It is not saved people that can lose their salvation. Notice verse 1. To them that are sanctified, that's saved people, by God the Father, and preserved in Christ and called. There's many things in here that you'll look at when it's talking about the judgments of God. And there's many politically correct things or unpolitically correct things in here in this scripture as well. But they're very true. And we don't hear them preach from the airwaves and from the false prophets that are out there this day. But verse 3, I believe we see a man of God's heart. Back in this time, I believe we see a man of God's heart in this time. I believe the man of God's heart is revealed. It is a calling in verse 3 for steadfastness and persevering in righteous things. Not a calling and a persevering in religious things, but a calling and a steadfastness in righteous things. There's a lot of religious things that are unrighteous. They're not righteous. They're traditions. Verse 3 tells us that. Verse 4 is a warning. There are certain men crept in unawares. Who are these certain men? These certain men many times creep in even among us. I believe it was the Apostle Paul that said, and after that he should depart, even grievous wolves would arise even among themselves. So if that was true for that day and time, it's true for our day and time as well. And he says, these certain men, they're ungodly men. In the Word of God, it tells us that we're not to marvel at false prophets because Satan himself can turn himself into an angel of light. And for those of us that are here this morning that are saved, that have been grounded in God's Word any time at all, you can look at what the world is chasing after religiously and what they're just fawning all over and what they just look to and think, oh, that's just the greatest teacher ever. He's just the greatest preacher ever. She's just the greatest teacher and preacher ever. And you can just see. And you can see the error once you've listened to them just a few minutes. They use some Bible. Yeah, they use some Bible. They misapply Scripture. They take Scripture out of context. And this is what he's warning us about in the book of Jude. This wasn't just for them. It's for us today as well. You and I may be sitting here this morning and we may say, yeah, but I'm grounded in the truth. I'm a Baptist. I know better than that. I'll never be drawn away. You know, there's none of us that are above that. Apart from the grace of God, there's none of us that are above being drawn away by error. Now, God, I believe, will bring us back, but we shouldn't think so highly of ourselves. It's a warning here. And he says in verse 4 that they're ungodly. They turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, excessive lust, wicked lust. Do we see that today? Yeah, we see it today. I will put you in remembrance, therefore, once ye knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. I just want to go to verse 6, and this doctrine is mentioned, I think, 3 times in this chapter. If you're here and you're lost, there's still a place called hell. If you're here and you're lost, there's still the concept that one day God is going to judge every single person. He's either going to judge us in Jesus Christ, where our sins are forgiven, or He's going to judge you on your own merit. And the Bible says, none is good, no, not one. God looked down to see if there was any that did seek after God, and they are all gone out of the way. Right. It doesn't matter what the baptism you have. It doesn't matter where you hold church membership. It doesn't matter what your intentions are, or how religious you are, or what kind of home life you came from. What matters is there ever been a time in your life where you've seen yourself as a sinner and turn to Jesus Christ as your only hope? And will your life changed? It's more than just repeat this prayer. It's more than just get baptized. It's more than just join the church. Become a Baptist like mom and dad. It's a time in your life when everything about our life changes. Oh, we're not perfect, but we're not the same person. You're not the same person at salvation. You're a different person. But he says, and I want you to notice verse 6, because this is a doctrine that many don't believe today. The fact that God is going to eternally punish people in ways that we can't comprehend, people don't understand it, so therefore, well, we just don't believe it. Political figure was asked the other day what he believed about hell, and he's, well, you know, and this is Christian. And I'm not knocking maybe what he stands for, but when it comes to this, he was way off. Well, in regards to God sitting up there and prodding in this, God's word means exactly what it says. Notice verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. Where are those angels that left with Lucifer? Where are a lot of them right now? Right now, many of them are in darkness, being held by chains. Put that in your mind's eye. Well, we can't understand that, so we don't really believe it. It's true. Notice, he says in verse 7, he picks up on another doctrine. Yeah, homosexuality isn't that bad. Fornication isn't that bad. Well, notice what verse 7 says. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. You know, our country. I believe we live in the greatest country in the world. But on the other hand, we as a society, many times we even us as Christians, the things that is put before us, and I have a TV, I have a big one, and when I have the time to watch it, I enjoy it. But there's much I can't watch as a Christian. And the things that's put before us, homosexuality is glamorized, fornication is glamorized, adultery is glamorized, and we as God's people, if we're not careful, become desensitized to it, and we think it's no big deal. It is a big deal. He mentions right here that one day he's going to judge those things. And what has that done to the generation that we're raising today as it gets worse and worse? We need to take a stand and we need to be careful to point out those things are going to be judged. Those things are wrong. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them, in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, homosexuality. Going after strange flesh are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of what? Eternal fire. I believe the final place of judgment is the eternal fire that is the lake of fire that death will be cast into and that hell will be cast into. But it is an eternal fire. It is a place that never ceases to burn in the torment. And you know what? We're not hearing much about this today on the radio from the false prophets. We're not hearing much about this today from all these big wigs that have all the money for all the airtime about that judgment is coming. That God, all we hear is, well, God just wants the best for your life. Just smile, be happy. Well, read your Bible. We need to read our Bibles, what's really coming one day. If you're a child of God, God wants the best for us. Many times God brings us through things that are extremely unpleasant to get us where we need to be. But if you're here and you're lost, you need His Son. If you could be saved any other way than Jesus Christ, why did Jesus Christ come and live a perfect life, suffer everything that He suffered? He is the only way. The vengeance of eternal fire. And then verse 8 through 13, we see the character. We see the character, verses 8 through 13, as well as verse 16, of the false prophets. You know, I asked myself the question in studying, because many times I preach on false prophets. So why is that? I was thinking the New Testament. In about every book you come to, if not every book, they're referenced. They're warned against. And when he says that we need to earnestly contend for the faith, what are they trying to do? They are trying to move us away. They're trying to move us away from the Word of God. In verse 8, he says, likewise also these filthy dreamers. They're wicked. They're wolves, as the Bible says. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. What's the characteristics? They defile the flesh. They despise dominion. They speak evil of dignities. Notice verse 9. He gives us the example as Moses and Satan and Moses and the devil, or not Moses, Michael the archangel and the devil, if you want to say it, was having a disagreement. And he gives us the example of how we're to be with our tongue. He says, even when Michael was contending with devil, he durst not bring against him a railing accusation. I think it's something that sometimes we don't think about too much. But they're very free with their speech. It talks about that they speak evil of things that they know not, but what they do know of naturally, they corrupt themselves. Verse 11, it says that they have gone in the way of Cain, and they have run greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. You know, I said this Wednesday night at our church when I preached, and I'll say it here, and I probably said it here before. There are those that could stand up here that this scripture is talking about that could preach circles and teach circles around me and could tell stories and could entertain and keep your attention, and you could think it was the greatest thing ever. But the important thing is, are they preaching and teaching the Word of God? Are they teaching the truth? And he says in verse 12, these are spots in your feast of charity. They feed themselves without fear when they're among you. They're clouds without water. You ever seen a storm's coming over and you see a big cloud? And most of the time, when you see a big dark cloud, it really will do something. It'll rain really hard or wind or whatever. But there are times when you'll see that really dark cloud come over and you think it's really going to do something. It's kind of like the false prophet. Wow, they're really full of something. And they have no substance. There's no rain. And when they begin to open and they begin to preach and they begin to teach, it isn't about the Word of God. It's about maybe things taken out of context, things misapplied, but it's about their agenda. And it says in verse 13 that the raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved, notice, the blackness of darkness forever. Three times we see in this chapter, it talks about blackness, talks about the eternal fire, talks about the angels that are reserved in darkness. Lake of fire, and I guess I'll use it this way, hell, eternal punishment of God is a real thing. Right. I've been saved by God's grace over 20 years. And I'll freely admit to you, when I consider the subject of heaven, there's a lot I don't understand. When I consider the subject of the end of time as we know it, there's a lot I don't understand. When I consider the subject of eternal punishment and hell and all, there's a lot I don't understand. But there are some very basic fundamental principles I do understand. Heaven is real. Hell is real. And one day things will change as we know it. And we will come to the end, as we heard this morning in the devotion, of our bank account. One day we'll draw from that bank account. We'll either draw from the spiritual bank account of what we have in Jesus Christ, or we'll have to draw on our own merit, which will not hold up before the Lord. And we'll stand before Him with nothing. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. We've been studying on Sunday nights the tribulation period and those things. And, you know, actually, one day this is going to really happen. We're going to come. The Lord is going to come with 10,000s of his saints. And what is he going to do? He's going to execute judgment upon all, and to give vent all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. You know, it's referring to false prophets, but let me tell you something else. It's referring to all of the wicked today. You go out and you listen, whether it's in the workplace or wherever it's at, there is no fear of God among the normal person today. Absolutely no fear. One person can say one minute, oh, I'm a Christian, and oh my gee, it's just like commonplace. Years ago, that wasn't the case. That's wicked. I don't care who it is that says it. God's name is to be reverenced. God's name isn't a byword. God's name wasn't given to us to use to express ourselves. And we hear it all the time. And then we hear God's name cursed over and over and over again. And people complaining about their lot in life and how that God, it's God's fault. One day, he says, judgment's going to be executed. It says in verse 16, these are murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaking swelling words. They flatter men for what they want. And all we see this today, preachers, false preachers, those that he's referring to back in this time is the same today. They'll get up and they'll tell you everything they want to hear, everything that you want to hear, everything that the wicked wants to hear in return for a little of this. They do that today. It's right before our eyes. Verse 17. Then he comes back to you and I that are saved this morning. Before we get to verse 17, go back to verse 3. Again, we hear messages many times preached. Contend earnestly. It means to fight. Fight for it earnestly with effort. For what? For the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We're not to wait and abide our time here, waiting for the next set of principles that God wants us to contend for. We're not to wait for somebody to come on the scene and say, I've got a new revelation. We're to contend for the faith that's already been delivered to the saints. We're to contend for the Word of God. And we're never to think of ourselves too highly that we won't fall by the wayside. Verse 17. After he speaks all that time about the false prophets, he says, But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's important for us as God's people to remember the true words of God. We can't be led away and led astray. You know, Brother Eaton was talking this morning about things going on in this world. None of us know what lies ahead of us next year. None of us know. If we really stop and just think about the possibilities, it could be pretty scary. But one thing is true. We need to always remember the words of the Lord. We need to write them upon the table of our heart. We need to be able to remember when somebody starts quoting Scripture. Well, I'll tell you this. I was in I think my middle son graduated. We were at the thing, and my kids go to public school, and that's where we send them. But at the end of the thing, somebody said something about, well, just go follow your heart. Well, I thank God everybody's ears perked up and got out of there. What? Your heart is wicked. You don't just follow your heart. Your heart's going to lead you astray. And I say that because we need to remember. How do we know that? How do they know that? How did the person that actually said that remember that? Because she remembered the words of the Word of God. Remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get tired of Brother Gordon preaching, maybe sometimes. Maybe churches get tired of what their pastors preach and what they teach. We need to remember that we need to be thankful for that. We need to remember that because someday we're going to need that to hold on to. We need it today, whether we think we do or not. Remember ye. And when they preach or they teach things, whether whoever it is, it's irrelevant. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, we can take it and we can throw it away in the trash can. It's not found in the Bible and they need to be called on it, right? But if it's from the Word of God, and it is, we need to remember it. We need to remember that how they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. And then, I mean, he just goes right back into talking about the false prophets. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Saved people have the Spirit of God. There's not a saved person alive that doesn't have the Spirit of God. There's not a lost person alive that does have the Spirit of God. And when someone does have the Spirit of God and someone does not have the Spirit of God, their lives are opposites. They're not the same. There's fruits to the Spirit. And he says these false people, they may be religious, they may sound good, they may look good, they even may make sense to the flesh, but they don't have the Spirit. So then he goes back to us as God's people. He first says, remember the words. And then he says in verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. That's a great responsibility that we have. Let me ask us a question this morning. Why did we come to church? You know, I like to remind myself and others, we're not just going to church. That's so casual. Oh, we're going to get up, we're going to get around, we're going to go to church. We have come to the house of God this morning. This is the place where God has chosen to meet with us. One reason that we should be here this morning, for those of us that are saved, is to have a building up of our faith. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, we get afraid of that because many times with the Holy Ghost and those that abuse that doctrine, this, that, and the other. But we do pray in the Holy Ghost. We do pray in the Spirit of God. But we should be building ourselves up. And then verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. You know, you look at a verse like this, and you can know what it doesn't mean. We don't keep ourselves saved. When I read this, I think of, I have kids. Sometimes they're much easier to love than other times. Sometimes they're not always lovable, right? Sometimes they're not thankful. Sometimes they're not gracious. Sometimes they're... We, as God's people, need to keep ourselves in the love of God. We need to be lovable. Well, God's obligated to love me. I'm His child. He does love us. But I believe we also have a responsibility to be lovable, too. It has nothing to do with our salvation. But keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, excuse me, unto eternal life. We need to be looking for the mercy. We need to be looking for the return of Jesus Christ. One thing that's been on my mind lately when it talks about heaven is the fact that there will be no sorrow there. There's not going to be any pain there. We even sung it, I believe, this morning. No parting over there. But sorrow. I was talking about this week. Sorrow is one of those things that's most difficult. And in heaven, there will be no sorrow there. There are some of us here, there's some of you here that have experienced great times of sorrow in your life. And in heaven, that will not be found there. And I think many times we fail to see heaven as that way. But there's no sorrow in heaven. And we need to be looking, in verse 21, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Verse 22 kind of switches, and he just tells us the responsibilities as we contend for the faith, the responsibilities we have. In verse 17, we need to be remembering. In verse 20, we need to be building up ourselves in the things of God. In verse 21, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. And then in verse 22, we have a responsibility to have compassion and to be making a difference. That's part of contending for the faith. Well, God is sovereign, and I believe what's going to be is going to be anyway, and so I'm just going to live my life and do my own thing, and who's saved is saved, and whatever, whatever. That's not having compassion. We shouldn't want to live our life in any way that would drive one sinner away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the sovereignty of God, but I also believe if my actions are a stumbling block to somebody, I'm going to have to give an account for that. I'm going to stand an account for why I was a stumbling block to them. Do you and I this morning have a desire? Excuse me. Do we have a desire this morning to make a difference in the souls of men? Do we care? Do we have a burden? Do we realize the need that is out there? When it comes to contending for the faith, we need to have compassion. And then verse 23, I see in contending for the faith a more direct involvement. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I see more intervention here than is previously mentioned. We ought to have enough fortitude as we contend for the faith to take a stand and say, what you're doing is wrong. I don't want to see you go and have to spend the consequences of not receiving Christ as your Savior. The lifestyle that you're living is wrong. We ought to have enough fortitude, not in a judgmental way, but out of a way of love to warn others. And then in verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I won't re-preach my sermon, but I will tell you today, hell is real. If you're here and you're lost, I don't understand everything about it. It's a horrible place that God has prepared. Heaven is real. Jesus Christ is the difference. What have you done with Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life when you received Christ, you turn from your self-righteousness, you turn from tradition, and you turn to the Lord through His Son, Jesus Christ, and depended wholly upon what He did for you. As we sing of an invitation, if God has spoken to any heart, we plead with you to come.